having a drink, listening to music. Gary's taking a shower. And then he comes out like fully dressed for the evening, like shoes, pants, belt, watch, you know, but no shirt. Like, and like holding a drink. And he's like just talking to us. And it, and like with the three of us looked at each other like, what are you doing? And he's like, what? We were just by the pool 20 minutes ago. I'm like, it's all about context, dude. It's appropriate then. It's very inappropriate. Yeah.
So you, it's okay to walk on your underwear now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Welcome to Bad Counsel, where Greg, Tim, Katie, Bert, and Mike freely give advice to their listeners' questions. Now let's be clear. These five are in no way qualified to give any advice. So, take it or leave it. Consider that your disclaimer. Now, on with the show.
Holmes, there's a girl in this harbor.
You have it on Candy Brain, you know that? Like, you fucking, like,
lay it like, shit down.
Shit gets in there and it doesn't get out.
Brandy fetch us another round. She serves them whiskey and wine.
I said
Brandy.
You have a mind like a bug glue trap.
Yeah. Only disgusting things are attracted to it, and that's the only thing I retain.
They get there and they stay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so I would
useless
say, okay,
information.
So Brandy, and then the next song on the mix would be Sailing by Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
Right, that is like epitome of
that fucking song.
I was educating Gary about yacht rock this very past weekend at the poolside of his hotel when Sailing came on, and he was like, "Oh, fast forward past this one."
What?
And I was like, "That is yacht rock. That is what started it all." And he's like, "It's too slow." And I'm like, "You know, Gary, Toto's not exactly tearing it up, you know, in the next track. Let's just relax, for God's sake."
Did I tell you, I used to subscribe to this Twitter feed called TotoBot. Right, and it used to just it would tweet out random lyrics from Africa. I was like, that's a great use of the internet. I gotta sign up for that,
right? And then you start paying attention to every line, every word in every line. It's
well, it's very you know, it's very factually questionable, that song. You know, you can't see Mount Kilimanjaro from the Serengeti. Come on.
You cannot. That is correct.
Jesus, man. Yeah, that's I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Now the song's ruined.
Poetic license.
Now how the fuck could I ever listen to that song again?
I know. Right? Exactly.
But I would say Africa definitely. You know, Africa could be yacht rock or brunch rock, because brunch rock is just a little.
That's a fine line, man.
It is. Yeah. It's maybe Gary was thinking brunch rock.
You get east of 95, Tim, down here, and it's got to be yacht rock. You know what I mean? You know, if you're east of 95.
Right. I like when Toto got a little edgy, you know, with Hold the Line. You know,
oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
hold the line. Bow, bow, bow,
bow. Always on time. Like, fucking lay it down, man.
That song was on the radio today.
Oh, I love Toto. They had that song 99. Remember that song? 99.
That was pretty weak. Yeah.
99. I actually fall in love with that song. But I you know, it's like, what is it about? What could it be about? And I think the rumor is that it's about Get Smart. You remember Agent 99?
Oh, yeah. Agent 99.
Really?
Yeah. That they were like, you know, like one of the band guys had a little fixation on her and just wrote that about her.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, dude, I got a good.
All right.
Can you hear us, honey? Yep.
Yeah.
Can you hear you. Us?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, boy.
My God.
Take Winston down. He had an emergency.
We're having so much fun anyways, Katie. No problem.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading Geddy Lee's autobiography. And so now I've just been listening to a shit ton of Rush.
Worst things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not yacht rock, but just hearing his kind of perception or like talking about when the song was made or what was going on and then go back and listen to it. So I just listened to 2112. Yeah. It's such a good album, and I was like, man, I have not listened to this, you know, front to back in easily 30 years, and just thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, and they had to, you know, fight their battles with the record companies to put out albums like that. You know, yeah, they weren't exactly commercial successes, you know, because but they stuck with their guns. And I guess the fact that the three of them were unified like that won the day.
Yeah, they were also professionals, too. Like, you know, there were bands, there were party bands, and there were bands mm-hmm. like Rush and Kiss and fucking Alice Cooper. Like, they took their vocation seriously, right? Didn't fucking party, and they put out good shit. And those are the fucking guys that lasted, you know what
and,
I mean?
And Rush actually opened quite a bit for Kiss in their early career and said as much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Professionalism was like a model for them, and, you know.
Yeah. So. They're a drug band. Like, the Black Crowes, Southern Harmony Musical Companion, like, to me, that was, like, the best album of the 90s. People argue that, right, obviously, but, like, they're a drug band
the
and
best.
They suck, right? And they burn out. Like they burn out in a couple of years, right? And
except for the Stones.
Well, that's true. I don't know if fucking Stones did it, right? But like they're
blood transfusions.
But like that's you see that pattern over and over again. You know what I mean? Where you get these fucking bands and they put out some shit that's just like amazing and then they're gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, literally, I read recently that several members of the Rolling Stones.
Can you hear us, Katie?
Can you?
Oh, thank God.
All right, perfect. We can hear you too. Cool. The blood transfusions, that they just basically clean their blood, essentially, you know, of all the toxins. I don't know how many times or how often that was done.
Well, that's just like when we used to give plasma in college. You know, right. That's literally
they cleaned your blood of all the time.
No, they would hook you up to a machine for like 2 hours. They would drain like 2 gallons of blood, separate the plasma, and then pump it back into you.
You know? Oh, like chelation.
Yeah, for beer money. They would do.
Yeah, it's $45 a week we earned. And if anyone
that's
was
a
lucky,
a lot of money. When parties are $2, dude. That's a fucking mint.
But you had to go, you know, you had to wait a day in between. You had to go both times to get they paid you $20 the first time, and then if you went back the second time in the same week, they gave you that $5 bonus. You know, which is nice.
Ooh,
it's great. And it was Thursday night, so you're rolling out of there with a $20 bill and a fiver, heading straight to dollar pitcher night. You know.
Do you remember they used to have quarter draft night at this
place?
That's like
In Pitt they had that penny draft night too.
Oh my god, really?
How
money on that?
Well, it's from like 8 to 10 and it's like they're probably their expiring kegs, you know. But I remember just like buying, you know, 50 drafts and filling up a table with our friends so that when the special was over we'd have them all there to, you know, half warm beers to pound down.
And they had no problem selling them to you like that?
No problem. Yeah, I mean, there's a bar in Penn State still there. It's called the Shandy Gaff. And I don't know what night of the week it was, probably Tuesdays or Wednesdays. You paid, I think it was when Gary was there, $3. And then I think by the time I got there, it was $5. And it was all you could drink.
All you could drink.
There used to be
all you can drink specials, but those have gone away.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Some things ought to go away.
My last experience with it was when I lived in Portland. I had made friends with a guy who owned a bar across the street where I'd watch the Steeler games because he had like the NFL package.
Yeah.
And he had bottomless mimosas on Sundays. And so I would go, you know, I was running still back then.
Plus,
so
it's early. It's early, right?
So the game started at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I was running and I was in good shape. And I don't know. I may be wrong. You'd know, Bert, but like I felt like I could oxidize alcohol much better then. So I'd go and I'd do like a 5 mile run in the morning. Then I'd go home and I'd be in the bar by 9 o'clock, you know, it's starting these pitchers of like bottomless mimosas.
Nice.
And I would stay there for both games and have like breakfast and lunch and then go home. And then I remember a few times I'm not like doubling over in crippling pain from the acid from the orange juice, you know, like
I probably had two gallons
of orange juice in my stomach, you know, and it was just, I would be doubled over in pain. I could feel like the acid's burning my stomach, you know.
Maybe I should stop doing this. Fucking way.
Yeah. Midway through living there, he stopped doing the special. He's like, you know, my family's attorney said we better not do that anymore. I was like, yeah, I can see why. Yeah.
So. You're talking about drinking in college. I had a really awkward situation recently. We went to a surprise party for one of Tammy's work friends, who I've met, and he's a pretty good guy. But I'm going to a party where my only connection to the main person of the party, the birthday boy, is that I know him through Tammy's work. So I am like on the outside circle, right, of all that's going on.
You felt like I did at every party in high school, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And you and I, Greg, we don't like that. Not happy about this. So we go, and yes, a weird collection of friends. And but I was in a situation that it was so socially awkward that I couldn't believe that I was actually experiencing this. This guy... one of his friends was at a table and I was at a table and they were doing karaoke, which just talk about more like,
was this
horrible.
Can I set the scene, Tim?
Of course. Yeah.
With some probing questions. Was this at a restaurant? Was this at a home?
It was at a golf club, like a low end golf club, clubhouse.
Like, okay. And it's an afternoon affair or early evening?
No, it's a Friday evening.
Friday evening. Okay. Just wanted to set the tone. How many people total do you think?
There for his party, probably 25. And then there was probably another 50 people there for karaoke night, which was a big thing in the neighborhood.
Okay, cool. Just want to get a sense of the scene.
That's good. You know, so just, and so I'm trying to like make conversation with people. And there's this one guy and we're talking and he said, you know, well, how do you know Steve? And I said, well, you know, Tammy works at USF with him. So this guy immediately starts saying, oh, she works at da-da-da-da in, and they deal with kids that make bad choices, just to give people understanding. He said, when I went to college, I rushed fraternities, but I didn't want to do it. And let me tell you why. And he proceeds to tell me, now I've met this man 10 minutes. I've known him 10 minutes. He proceeds to tell me about a time. Have you guys ever heard training, like running a train? With sorority girls. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah. They ran a train on her. Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought, Greg.
If I had to use it in a sense, that's what I've heard. Like, oh, so-and-so had a train run on her. You know?
Yeah. So he proceeds to tell me the story of it would be one sorority girl and then a bunch of fraternity guys, and they would all kind of like take a turn, right? Mm. So, right, exactly. So... are you agreeing with it, Katie, or are you just following along?
Yeah, that's the definition as I understand it.
Oh, okay. All right. I'd heard run a train, but anyway, laying tracks, you know, that's what I thought that was. So I'm sitting here going like, how do I?
You know what I don't know what that means.
How do I respond to this?
Tim likes
right?
to walk on girls, like physically walk on them. Laying tracks. I want to get my Redfield boots.
You know, when you train someone like on a football field, like you just blow them up, you train them, you just run right through them, that type of thing. Not like a line of men.
Oh yeah.
You know.
No, it's like a train, like choo-choo.
Yeah.
If it had been just one, Tim, they would have called her running a bus on her.
You know? So running a bus on her, right? So this is a train. So I'm sitting there going like, how am I supposed, like, what is the proper etiquette here? Right. And then I'm thinking, well, there is no etiquette on the other side. Mm-hmm. But Tammy's sitting right next to me. So he wants
She's
to tell
the story too.
No. But he wants to tell her this story. And I'm like, listen, man, like, let's not, you know,
the context of him telling you this story again.
It's basically what Tammy does at USF.
Oh,
is
troubled kids. He's like, I was a troubled kid. And as a matter of fact, I was part of of running a train on some sorority girls. Is that what he said?
It's almost to that point, Greg. I thought to myself, this guy clearly has some kind of like something's not completely wired up with him.
Did he tell you, like, was he the first one to go or was he the last one?
No, he made it clear that
you don't want to be last.
He didn't want to be involved in that, which is the first lie.
He's wearing a condom. It's probably not that big of a deal.
They're wearing condoms. Okay.
Right. In college, that's not happening.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine on the young lady's psyche. You know? Not to mention 11 and 12. You know?
I was just, so then one of Tammy's other associates comes, who I know, is a guy named Jimmy. He's a great guy. And immediately, once this other gentleman finds out that Jimmy works at the same school that Tammy does, he tells him that story. And, you know,
Tim? I'd like to know.
This is just this dude's go-to story.
Moment? May I take the part of this guy and then we'll turn it over to you to try to recreate what you said to him? You know, so anyway, and, you know, we ended up running a train on her that night.
I tried to change the, like, I tried to say, like, well, what did
this
you study?
Delicious.
Yeah, what did you study?
You don't have any peanut allergies, do you?
It was just so awkward, and it just took a night that I was like so like not into. God. Just made it even worse. And I just, your stories about college made me think of it. First of all, I'd never encountered something so
younger or older than us. Do you think?
Most people are younger now at this point, so I would probably say he seemed to me
sadly.
You don't live in South Florida.
Well, I mean, right.
Like I wasn't
in. He graduated in 2006. So
okay, so I didn't graduate a fraternity, but I had friends who were in, a lot of friends who were in fraternities at Penn State. And then, like, these stories sound like, or I've heard about a lot of gross things that these boys did to each other, like drinking games and drinking soy sauce and really, like, you know, putting an olive between your butt cheeks. And then, somebody has to eat the olive at some point. You know, but yeah, yeah. Like, I mean,
or sack chugs, like you pour beer off your ball sack. And
yeah.
I have heard that, but I
could be wrong, you know, but I had friends that were reportedly some of the, edgier frats, you know, I never heard anything like that. Like the most I ever heard about was maybe like a girl getting in a shower with two guys or something like that. But I never heard about any sex parties or things like that. God knows if they could have happened, but man, I hope not. Jesus, that seems.
At IUP there was a bunch of shit, but like it was like there was some pretty bad hazing that went on, right? But
hazing for sure. Physical abuse and all that, drinking abuse,
But I never heard anything like that either. And I used to hang out. We used to hang out with a lot of sorority and fraternity dudes, right? Although I never pledged, right? But they used to come to our. We had plenty of parties, and they were all there. I do have a relevant story, though, right? And maybe, and I'm gonna be very cryptic.
Back when
about
you tried
it,
to pledge that sorority,
this is about old men. This is how old I am, right?
Okay, so, God.
Remember the party? Remember, you guys remember? Let's play like Bad Counsel Rewind. I told you that I got invited to a particular party that was kind of like very interesting, right? Because it was a house party with it was a sex party, right?
Yeah, you've told this to all of the world. Bad Counsel podcast.
We're beating around the bush, but in 3 seconds,
right? Yeah, and so. Well, it turns out that the host, had another event, right?
Yeah.
And it was last night, right?
Okay.
So
were you invited?
Yeah, I was again invited. Michelle
and
I.
Right.
Oh, invited, baby. Right?
So we attended, right?
Did you wear your GoPro?
And, no. Okay. So it started. This is how old I am, right? It started. And there was everybody stood around the kitchen. It started at 7, right? Everybody stood around the kitchen until like 11:30. And
you were
Michelle
asleep.
And I, and Michelle and I left. Because we're just like, dude, it's fucking midnight. Yeah. I got shit to do. Like, I got to be up at, because I was meeting some guys to do a bike ride at 8. And I was like,
is this sex going to start soon? we have to go to bed.
And it starts here. Like, the last time I was here, I saw some fucking, right?
Yeah.
And I saw some shit, right? And
they were waiting you out. They're waiting you out. They're like, hey, remember that guy who ate all the prosciutto and the olives and just didn't anything but just kind of stared at us awkwardly? Well, he's coming. You know, so let's just agree not to do anything until he leaves.
As soon as he fucking splits, we got to fucking throw
him out. And try to talk his wife into sticking around too. So.
Yeah, and I'm seeing all the text strings today, and we're like, wow, some interesting shit happened.
Right.
Like, but yeah, at least I got my right.
So what's the key next time is just arrive later, like 9 o'clock?
Well, the thing is they have it's in a residential neighborhood, right? So they do a thing where you got to be there by 8 and then they close the door, right? Well, they lock the doors, right? Because they won't have to fucking worry about people coming and going, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
So you can leave, right? But the idea is like you got to be here by a certain time, right?
You don't want the neighbors being, oh, hey, there's a party happening and the cops showing up or anything.
Yeah, right. So and they
it's the opposite
they,
of Hotel California. Right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You can always
so
right. to check in exactly at 7, but you
right,
can
exactly.
and leave any time.
But yeah, so we left. But we left before anything fucking happened.
Oh God.
So you literally just asked conversations.
Okay,
so
I have a lot of questions, if I may.
God. I'm sure I would expect no less.
Yeah. So I guess, in no particular order, what were they doing from like 7 or 8 to 11:30? Just chatting and drinking,
kitchen bullshitting. Like, oh, everybody knows God. Each other, right? These are all this like, and I know the host, and I actually know some people there now too, right?
Okay.
Because we know
seen each other's balls.
You fucked before,
yeah. Right. I did not know fuck. I didn't fuck anybody there, right? Besides Michelle, right?
But just to be clear,
but you right? saw all of their balls. That's the true statement. Right?
I mean, by the time we left, like there was some interesting stuff. Like, it was starting to progress to that, right? Yeah. But we were just like, dude, it's fucking like midnight, right? We got an hour drive home. We got to get the fuck out of here, right? Okay. I'm like, yeah, okay.
So me asking you that question about what they were doing that whole time, that was, you know, like in journalistic parlance, that was like me softening you up for this question. You ready?
Yeah.
What were your intentions that night? No, I couldn't care less. And frankly, I don't want to think about it. But what were your intentions that night, you and Michelle?
So, I need you to be honest here.
You know?
So, okay. The last time we were there, right? Mm-hmm. Me and Michelle end up did, maybe I shouldn't say it. I think I alluded to this last time. We did end up, we did end up engaging with each other, right? Yeah. In on premises, right?
Okay. Nice.
And we saw a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, I bet.
But the thing is, seeing a bunch of stuff was part of the you know,
the fun.
That's pretty,
titillation. Part of the fun. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we were like, and you know, we were all fired up. So like, okay, let's go. Right. And, but we didn't even get to that point this time. Yeah. Right. So actually, I know the guy and I'm friends with him, and I actually had something canceled yesterday, and I showed up early to help him set up, right? So setting up and
set up. Strategically placing rubber gloves and stuff.
Hang the swings, put the whips on the wall.
Hanging the swings, right? Like setting up the bench. Right?
Laying down the plastic over the carpet.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So every bed gets
you think you're kidding.
You think you're kidding, right? Yeah. Every bed gets a plastic layer, a sheet, a plastic layer, a sheet, a plastic layer, a sheet, right?
Oh, my God.
You can take one off, right?
Use it again, right?
Oh, so it's like, yeah.
Is it like dry cleaners plastic?
Well, yeah, I mean, those guys are fucking doing some major cleanup today, right? So, you know, just tons of laundry.
That's what
right?
it smells like.
Tons of laundry.
You know, it's pretty clean.
Okay.
Laundry. No, burn those sheets and buy new ones.
This laundry side path is interesting, but I don't want to burn off the hook here.
He will not be deterred.
Okay. So, you know, what I didn't ask what you did.
He's like a fuck.
I didn't ask what happened. I said, what were your intentions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was playing it by ear, right? You know, I mean, we kind of thought we'd do the same thing again, you know, see what the heck's
have
going
you
on.
Like, I don't know if you could admit this or not, but you're a pretty open guy. You know, have you started to kind of like identify like, hey, if we progress to that point, Michelle and I, where we're comfortable considering doing a little swinging, like, are you starting to like assess candidates? Like, you'd like to try to, you know, so in the intervening stage is like, you know, like, oh, no, you can have the last half of that sandwich, you know, because you want to curry favor with that guy, because eventually you'd like to, you know, give it his wife.
Do you have like little codes? Like, we know there's
that Bert's a great guy. You know, honey, I think you should have sex with him.
He shared a sandwich.
So, I would like to invoke my Fifth Amendment privileges. So, honest to God, we have not engaged with anybody there, right?
But have you talked about it? Have you started to think about it?
Michelle and I talk
about
it. A lot,
we know that.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
So
conduct some interview.
Yeah. The there's no record of that, any of that, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Except for this honest to God, we just went there because we had a fun time last time, and we thought it was a good time, right? And we were we have another party. Let's go over there. You know what I mean? It's like,
don't go to the same movie twice, like, you know, for no reason. Like, you must really be interested. You're not going there just to observe and do the same thing over again, because if that were the case, that's a once in a lifetime experience. Like, I've done it. I've attended a swingers party. We got a little randy, you know, but that was enough. That's kind of my,
we kind of wanted the same experience. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you go to, I would characterize it more as like, you go to the movies more than once. It's not like, oh, we went to the movies and we saw this movie and now we never need to go to the movies again, right? I mean, there's different, like, this time there was a bench that somebody built, right? with a built-in marital device, right? I was like, okay, that looks pretty, it would be interesting to see somebody employ that apparatus, using? Right?
So I love built-in television.
He gets so, like, it's so weird. Like they put a dildo on a bench, but you're like a marital device and an apparatus. Like, so weird how you just suddenly just become
he's
very...
He's trying to throw off people who might be trying to, you know, like, he's cloaking his message here. People are like, what's he talking about? I'm not quite sure. It's a dildo. He says a marital device.
It was actually right? Right. Oh, okay. It was a Hitachi, right? So I was like, I remember I helped set up, right? So we were dragging this thing in, right, off the guy's truck who brought it, right?
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
Okay, I'd like to see somebody use that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, by fucking midnight, you know, I was like, hey, I'm going home.
But bye, guys. You like, poke your head into, like, various closets and rooms.
No,
like, see you, guys. See you.
Yeah, we kind of...
Not interrupted. No. Please don't get up. See you.
But so we split, right? But,
yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. So that's how old I am. I'm so old I can't even stay up to stay to see the good stuff at the sex party.
This
so
is an interesting path that you're going down on. I like it. I approve.
So is it...
Now, if you live closer, if you didn't have that hour drive...
Yeah, we would have stayed another half hour. But I mean, maybe wouldn't have been such an impediment. But, you know, when you're an hour away and you're like...
The thought never crossed your mind. You know what? I'll cancel the 5,000th bike ride of my life tomorrow and stick around and have some wild...
For the second party that I've been to.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe that... If I would have... Like, it maybe... If I... In the future, I would plan to stay there later. Right? Yeah. I guess is what I would say. But yeah, maybe I should have canceled. But I chose not. To cancel my bike ride with my dorky bike friends.
So are you both equally as interested in this, or are you driving this a little more, or is Michelle driving this a little more? Like, is it just something that you both really wanted to do, or is it one of you that's saying we should check this out?
I think the latter, right? So, like, we've been married 27 fucking years, you know what I mean? And it's been, like, one of these things. Like, now, like, we're just like, hey, there's other shit out. Like, hey, this interesting opportunity came up, right? Yeah, you know, let's go check it out and take a look, you know what I mean? It's not like it's something that there's a dude we know that does this shit, right? So when he has a party and he invites us, we're like, yeah, we'll go, you know, kind of thing. I don't think that I drive any more than she does, right? I think it's more like, hey, this is interesting. You know what I mean?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not necessarily applied just to you and Michelle Bird, but like even thinking about Jack, who was in a plural marriage for a while. We all know that.
That's got to be fucking so much to manage, man.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
But so my...
He actually said it was less to manage.
Because they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because a lot of the emotional stuff was handled between the women. So he felt like he...
He just ate sandwiches.
He was excused.
He just fucking ate sandwiches.
Mothers, may I be
That's
excused?
Right. That's literally.
I'm going to go watch the Jaguars game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll read the minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, just so you know, it's like it was the opposite. Because believe me, Greg went into his Walter Cronkite phase with Jack a few times as well, and that was one of the
things. Well, I mean, but here's what I'm thinking. Like, and again, not directly towards Bert and Michelle, but like what Jack had, when you're a couple and you invite one or maybe even two other people into like kind of a sexual situation, that seems more fraught with potential hurt feelings and misunderstandings and one or two people feeling left out, as opposed to it's 10 people. Or you know what I mean? Like where it's somewhat a little bit a level removed. It's
right.
Less personal. It's more about the sex and less about, you know, interpersonal relationships, right?
I would imagine. I think so. What? I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no direct experience. Like, you know what I mean? So, but I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, yeah, if it's an orgy, everybody there is there for one particularized reason, right? And they're all going to leave and they're all going to go separate directions, right?
Right. In any normal couple, if you said, hey, Katie, let's invite Sally into this, then, you know, just for fun, you know, just for our own sexual, you know, explorations, the person in the relationship who suggests it, the other person can't help but think, is Greg really interested in having just some adventurous sex? Or is this just his path to get a hold of Sally and chuck me to the curb? You know what I mean? But with like an orgy, that seems less threatening to individual relationships. So Tim, if you and Tammy want to check it out, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal.
That's just not my bag. I couldn't do it.
What if Tammy asked you to go to one?
I wouldn't.
Could you go watch?
I would watch an orgy. Why not?
I would no. I just don't know. I would be so uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't know. In so many ways.
Well, Greg doesn't want to go to somebody's house for dinner. Yeah, yeah, right.
Look, they're eating, right? I mean, geez.
Exactly. Can you imagine?
Look at this fucking
laughing. See, if Bert and Michelle get to the point where they're actively engaged in a social way, is that a kind of vague terminology that you'd like, Bert?
No, I mean, if you're going to call it social disease, right, I guess, like...
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. With your diligence in assiduously checking the chemical composition of any drugs that you do, you know, what would you do in that situation? Would you bring your own phlebotomist?
Oh, my God.
And have them, like, blood drawn, and check them on disease? 10-panel blood check?
Yeah. You would have to... I would, like... If I were going to do that sort of thing, right, I would be like, okay, like I need a fucking test script, right? Yeah. I need a result of a test, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, by the way, everybody's wearing condoms, right?
Or you could wear like your cycling suit and put your condom over your dick on your cycling suit.
Are you saying that I would only be turned on?
You got your heart on, and I'm sure there's nothing left to the imagination when you have a heart on one of those babies, I imagine. And then you just get a magnum, and you just kind of go over the cloth. Yeah. You're all set.
It's for her pleasure.
Safe, right?
It's for
her pleasure. Yeah.
You're right. That's going to like add some girth too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
I would imagine.
All right.
Anyway. But I can't wait to hear what's next. Good for you, kids. Yeah.
Well, no, nothing much. I mean, whatever. That was pretty. Yeah. That was pretty.
Yeah, you did all the work setting up those sex rooms and the bedrooms, and exactly. And you got nothing out of it. You got to talk to some people that.
I was a snap.
Actually, pretty good, man. Yeah.
It was always those things like that.
Badass. You know what they had, dude? They had this shit. They sell this shit at Costco, I guess. Right? Nice. It's fucking like. Instead of cannoli, well, Tim will think this is an abomination, right? But it's like the cannoli, the cannoli stuffing and like little cannoli chips, right? And you can actually dip it in.
Oh, that sounds like the mascarpone. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was fucking digging on those.
Tim, any objections?
No, that's, hey, look, you're just.
That sounds
delicious.
Yeah,
I mean, as long as it's good. I mean, it's mass produced, so that's, you know, but.
They stamp that shit out, man.
Exactly. But
ship it over from China.
Costco. I love Costco.
So, no, I don't have
I just imagine the big machine, like, squirting the fucking. Like, squirting the cannoli mix into, like, little plastic, pre-blown plastic containers and sealing them up.
like tubby custard.
Yeah, right. Exactly, like tubby custard.
Well, that sounds like a fun party.
Yeah,
it is, though. You talked about getting older, right? And it was so I was talking to Miles the other day, and I was watching some baseball, and I don't see Miles as much now, so it was nice. I was talking to him, and we got to talking about Tyson's fight, right? And how the guy he's going to fight. What's his name? Rick Paul?
Jake, is that
his
Paul?
Name? Jake Paul is getting nervous, and I was like, he should.
Good.
Yeah, he should be fucking nervous.
Exactly. Like
you're about to get your head fucking knocked.
Have you
off,
seen
dude.
Him training? It's going nuts.
Yeah. Oh my god. And then he's a scary. That dude is so fucking scary. He would be scary getting up from his fucking deathbed.
He's just
that would be scary. Yeah.
He's our age, and he's just he looks ferocious. And Miles said he remembers this thing. Miles was in eighth grade. And he's like, Dad, I remember you and my other, I had another buddy, Tim, and they had a son, Michael, same age as Miles, and we were talking about.
Oh, I know. And he crapped out. Okay, there he is.
Yeah,
he's back.
We missed
you. You got to tell us that story again. You froze up, man.
Oh, shit. So
Miles. Eighth grade, Miles.
So we were over my buddy Tim's house, and they have, he has a son, Michael, same age as Miles, and we were talking about Tyson. And so I took the kids and showed them YouTube videos of Tyson's knockouts. And Miles remembered that. And it had made an impression like that.
That's awesome.
We were watching baseball, and I was like, even baseball, like things are changing. Like baseball used to be contact. He's like, what are you talking about? So I pulled up video of the collisions at home plate. And I was like,
Pete Rose.
Yeah, it was like, that's the first one I Ray pulled Fosse. Up, Greg, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice.
And then, but even into like the 90s and early 2000s, there were some really
ferocious
hits. But that was part of the game, right? Yep. And I was watching this. And of course, Miles is very physical. He played physical sports. He liked it. But I was realizing, man, I'm getting older. I'm finally starting to realize I'm old, because this, it's just not in the games anymore. And then it really hit me. I went to see Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service with Bennett on Wednesday night. We were in Orlando.
Nice.
And it was great. The show was phenomenal. However, a couple things I realized. One, I was super happy that I was on an end seat so that I could get to the bathroom before anybody else. So that was number one, right? I had never thought that of going to
the bathroom. I always think about that.
Right? Exactly. See? So number two, we actually saw someone get thrown out because they were yelling. And I was like, this is a concert. This is a rock concert. Yes, literally, because someone was yelling too loudly behind somebody else. And
my God.
I know. Wow. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I am starting to slip into, I don't understand this world anymore. Mm. Like, it's just not the same. I mean, can you imagine when you were in high school and you go to a concert and someone got thrown out because they were yelling too loud?
Oh my God! I never had a voice the next day from screaming.
Yeah, right.
I can't imagine.
Most of the concerts I went to, if you yelled, it didn't even matter because
you
couldn't hear. Like they were playing at jet engine decibel levels. Yeah.
Well, and that implies like that person was the only one yelling in the area. It's like, you know, how do you pin it on me? I'm the worst of the yellers. There's everyone at a concert.
Well, we were up on the second bowl, right? And we were right at the edge, and we could see this person standing up and clearly blocking the view of somebody else behind them, but we didn't think anything of it. And then they called the usher over, and the usher had to get involved.
Oh my God.
And it was like, it was like, I was like,
so you can't stand up at a concert anymore?
I've been with groups of friends who've been on both sides of that fight where you're like, you know, yeah. and it's inevitably somebody's girlfriend is annoyed because she wants to sit down and can't see, you know, who then starts to chirp, you know, to another girl in the other group. And then the boyfriends end up having to fight one another because he's idiots, you know, or vice versa. So I've been on both sides of those arguments. And just like,
how many fights have been stuff started by like boyfriends, like fucking like, you know, these guys don't want to fight, but they're fucking.
They have to.
Girls are chirping.
Yeah, like I have trouble face here. Yeah. So this is fucking.
Let's just get
fucking,
it over with.
Let's just grab each other, punches. And shake each other's shirts a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking,
no, and then you're gonna get an earful on the ride home. How right, I didn't then, want you to fight for me. That's not what I was. That's not what that was about.
Yeah, well, you're thinking you're getting a blowjob on the way home.
Yeah, no.
You're doing the right thing.
You're getting lecture.
That was Cuban lecture.
Yeah, you're getting it. Like, fuck, I can't fuck
away. Yeah, exactly.
No, that's like that's a video game, man. You like have to hit every stage to get a blowjob, right? Because any step of the way, that boss level, come on.
Both guys are like, okay, I got to get a blowjob tonight. What is the perf? What do I have to do in this situation?
Forgot to bring the trash cans in. I would, but I'm exhausted because I had to bring the trash cans in because you forgot. You know.
It's true, man. It's the power of the pussy. I tell you what, it is very, very strong. So what would be, I guess it would be to kind of like square off, maybe do like, you know, the hockey scrum where you're just like, you got the guy's shirt and you kind of, you know, but you don't, no one throws a shot. You're not face washing.
Usually somebody gets, I mean, whoever the stronger of the two usually gets the other one in a headlock pretty quickly. And it's like, are we done? You know, and it's like,
hurry up, security's coming.
Yeah. But you can't be in the headlock and agree. Like then at that point you're not getting anything because then you're just.
But it's like, well, what's next? I'm going to the ground. I'm just gonna, you know, cut my losses here. I'm sure Bert surprised a lot of guys with his wrestling moves. Yeah.
No, so one time I was with a guy.
I love it.
Okay. 2 a.m, right? I'm walking home from the bar with my buddy Bill. Right, we're in Indiana, PA. And my buddy Phil, he's legitimately fucking tough. Like, he's a tough motherfucker, right? Athletic, big, like, and sort of angry. He's a Philly guy, right? And
say no more.
We're walking down the street, and these fucking two kids in a brand new fucking red BMW, like, start driving by, and fucking Bill just goes, just fucking flips him off, right? and they stop the car, right?
Oh my God.
And the guy goes, did you just flip me off? And Bill goes, yeah. And he goes, you want to fight? And Bill goes, yeah. Fucking guy jumped out of the front seat of the car. My buddy Bill just fucking punches him and knocks him out. Yeah. Right? The guy on my side, I'm fucking hammered, right? I'm like fucking 145 pounds, right?
Broke
this
out.
Guy puts me in a headlock, right?
But you did a reversal. You were a wrestler. You probably got out of it pretty easily.
I was fucking hammered, right? So he starts punching me in the head, right? So I bit him on his hip, right?
Nice. Head, right?
You bit his hip?
Yeah, I bit his hip.
It's a weird spot to bite somebody, but hey, it works.
Like, oh, motherfucker, you bit me. I'm like, yeah. You have your head like,
oh, my God.
So he stands up. This other guy, street like, rules. Fucking punched in the head and just was like, okay, I'm done, right? Yeah. The other guy, so both of us like break apart, right? This guy pulls out his pants. He's got like a huge like round, because like think about it, when you bite something, like, it makes it round. Like,
that's awesome.
He got this huge round black and blue ball. He's like, you motherfucker, you just bit me. Right? I'm like, you fuck you. You punched me in the head, right?
Oh,
so
it
gets better, right?
Oh, this so more.
The next night, it's Monday night, right? And it's like one of these fucking like cheap fucking beer nights at this fucking bar, this dive bar in this alley we used to go to, right? So I was actually out with a couple of buddies, but me and my buddy Bill were the only ones who had money, so we ditched everybody else, and we're going to go get a beer at this fucking place, right? We start walking down the alley. And here's the fucking two guys, and we got into a fight with at 2 a.m. with like four of their buddies, right? And they're walking and like right in front of the fucking bar, right? And they're like, yo, man, you were the motherfuckers we fought with last night. And we're both like, all right, we're like, okay, we're going to get a fucking ass kicking right now, right? We just got to take this, just fucking hit as many motherfuckers as we can, right? And I'm like, I'm definitely going to die, right? These guys are like, you're the motherfuckers we got in a fight with. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was pretty funny. Like, yeah, it kind of was.
All right. There you go.
We all went to the bar and bought each other drinks.
Bro code. So that's
that was,
right.
That was like Suburban Boys in the Hood, which was right in the theaters. Boys in the Burb. It, right. Boys in the Burb. Hey, let's go to the Gap together tomorrow.
Right.
I need Cheetos. I have a presentation on Monday. It's good. You bit somebody in the hip. Oh my God!
Somebody in the hip. I did.
That's a new low.
All right.
Well, I mean, you know, what are my options at that point?
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
You got to do what you got to do, right? Yeah. I mean,
I just went.
It's street.
Yeah, street fight. No rules.
He avoided the junk and the butt. He was
just the hip.
He stayed strictly hip.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I had.
Bad area at that point.
That night could have gone a lot differently had you been in somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you bit him literally where you got your full tattoo, right?
In the front, like in the front of his hip, right? Like,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, I wonder if to this day he's got maybe some weird tattoo there to cover up the bite mark.
Yeah, he's covering up his
maybe that should be like one of the entries for the contest is just like human bite marks, you know. And we'll allow the highest bidding listener to send us a dental impression, and they'll have their actual teeth marks. Like Erica, you could have your actual teeth marks tattooed on Bert's ass. Yeah.
Speaking of that,
actually, that'd be kind of cool. Like, think about it. if you got like a bite mark tattooed in like red or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what else I'm thinking about?
Cool. Like a Walking Dead bite mark.
Yeah.
I'm even more enthused about this contest now because I just thought about you navigating this ongoing entree into like swinging, and so you're going to soon have some and another random tattoo on your ass. It's going to be great. So
get Michelle's teeth marks.
You know the one who always helps set up, eats all the cold cuts and then leaves. Yeah. Anyway, so he finally took it.
I think he
took his pants off, and he has a Hello Kitty tattoo on his ass. What do you think that's all about? Like, you know, I'm starting to rethink this whole swinging thing now that guy's here.
That's it. So we did get a couple of tattoo ideas. I don't know if anyone else did, but I had a couple.
Oh, I'm gonna send a couple here to our little core group.
So all right, but we're gonna have to, since this is an audio
Yeah, we'll put podcast. It on the Instagram.
Well, I sent it to you guys. Instagram.
So
these were from the young adults in my life. They have some thoughts.
Okay, so
give us back some.
It's coming on what Cork? Oh my lord!
Nice.
I love that. So we have a dolphin.
The fish on a stripper pole? That's fucking great.
Yeah.
I love that one so much.
Fish on a stripper pole.
I like the fuck rules one. That seems so much more you, Bert.
It does.
I like that one too, yeah.
It's very
so
you.
A dolphin.
With a dolphin with legs.
Legs.
A flying dolphin with legs.
Yeah. With clouds in the back.
I love it.
And what? Maybe a vagina. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and it's simple. You know, that would be a 20-minute tattoo. So it wouldn't be very painful.
Yeah, that fuck rule, that one's like 5 minutes.
That's exactly. Actually, looks like a good one. Yeah, I like that one.
That's a strong candidate.
You think I like the one on the stripper pole myself, well, but I know I'm partial to poles. Yeah,
exactly.
The carp on the stripper pole. I mean, that's
pretty good. It's so good.
That is definitely. We did get one. It was.
This is terrible.
Tupac as a what's when you have the torso of a man and the body of a horse? Is it a centaur or a minotaur? What's the centaur, right?
Mentor is a bull.
Yeah, so Tupac as a
satyr. A satyr is if just two legs of a
no no a centaur four legs
centaur.
Centaur. But a unicorn centaur. So Tupac's torso and head with a unicorn horn. So I still think fuck rules is better.
Tupac Shakur? Like, do you have a picture of this? Or is this some...
It was the other one, but Greg thought that Bert might like this one.
It was
the cat eating a fucking eating birthday cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't even be a penalizing. I could totally see that on you.
This is somebody else's tattoo, though.
Yeah, that was going to say.
I know. It's an inspiration, though. But, like, you have the cherry tattoo already. You could kind of butt this one up next to it.
Kitty cat birthday.
Slide right underneath. Yeah.
So Tim,
so
Tupac
good.
Shakur's body and torso, but with a unicorn, like a horse head, unicorn head, or Tupac's head with a horn.
Tupac's head and chest with got a unicorn head, and it was these were both came through in text, so I don't have I wasn't multimedia like Katie's.
Oh, we need to get AI to do mock-ups.
Yeah,
can you do that? Can you do that?
This sets up for an Instagram poll really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Of course.
Yes, it does.
And the other one was Michael Jackson, head of Michael Jackson, and he touched so many is the words underneath it. And these are people that specifically know you, Bert, or know of you through the show, so they don't really know you. They know
that's funny.
They know the character Bert, but they had fun coming up with those ideas.
That's pretty fucking.
So now let's keep a running tab of these. We have Erica's that we sent the picture of the group last week of George Washington with a bikini body, George Washington's face head with a bikini body. That's one.
Is that the T-shirt that Bert's wearing right now?
No.
With the motorcycle jumping over the... Oh, no, that's... is that Batman?
Motorcycle.
Oh, devil on a motorcycle.
Yeah, devil on a motorcycle.
So then we have the ones that Katie sent that we'll put on Instagram, cool, and then we're going to come up with images to match this. I'm on AI right now.
How about that AI removing the women from the pictures?
Well, I said fun time, right, Katie?
Yeah, fun selfie. I put a picture of Greg, his brother Gary, and then his wife and myself. And we said, make it a fun selfie. And it literally replaced us with like 15-year-old Asian girls. Yeah.
it's Saturday morning. Katie's looking at the pictures from last night. She's like, oh, that's a really cute picture of the four of us. I was like, yeah, cool. She's like, you know what? I'm going to go on to AI and have some fun filters applied to it. And I was like, okay. And so she's like, oh, my God, look at this. And, you know, to make it fun, they remove Katie and MP, and they just left Gary and I with like teenagers in every different scene. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you guys look exactly the same.
Pretty cool looking.
Yeah, me too.
Except the last AI picture was going to be Greg and Gary in prison. Yeah.
Although, and then, I will say, you look the same in almost everyone, Greg. You're like untouchable by AI.
Yeah, you didn't change much.
He still looked like
him. So did Gary. Japanese in one. They made Gary Japanese Gary? One.
Yeah. That Kung was fucking Kung great.
Oh my God. Gary was screaming when you wrote that.
Yeah. Ken Gary was handsome.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he so looks good.
He does.
Only I was had like, a bit of ginger. God, that guy could have done it.
Yeah, man, yeah. How different his life would have been.
And then it was weird. It thickened your eyebrows. Like I noticed that the girls had like thicker eyebrows.
Why is that weird?
The girls. Those were actual girls.
But what was AI thinking? Like in my, we showed Gary's wife and him and you know, we what our conjecture was like, you know, maybe AI like God is a man, you know, and that's what that's just the way AI sees things. Like these two guys should be with much younger women, you know, obviously.
It said fun.
I looked that's at it I a different it. Way. I was like, these two guys can only get mail order brides.
It's funny. Katie said that. Katie said that at dinner last night when we had Adrian and his wife, and when Katie said that, like Gary like squeezed my knee or something, like, oh my God, we're going to offend Adrian. I was like, no, it's not the same thing.
Nyara is probably not.
No,
couldn't care.
Well, she wasn't a mail order bride. No.
Yeah. So. There you go.
I actually thought it was funny that Goose was asking about Adrian, but didn't know it was Adrian, and saying that, you know, he looked extremely uncomfortable and like, should we call 911? Is he being held?
Well, you know, he wouldn't
strange look.
He wouldn't mind, or I don't care if he minds me telling it a little bit of a story. Like, you know, he doesn't drink anymore. And so he does marijuana, but he can't really drink anymore. And so, you know, for our entire lifetime of knowing him, he's the guy at dinner parties and in social events that was so like over the top, you know, a little bit drunker than everybody else, doing crazy things, life of the party, never wanted the evening to end, to him sitting there like, nobody's going to order dessert, right? Right. Can we just agree on that now?
He's checking his clock.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and I just sit there and I think that's your karma, buddy, you know? So
yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's fucked up. Like I've seen people, like, it's really weird how some people just fucking do a 180. You know what I mean? Like I knew this guy who was like a total like, well, whatever. But I mean, it's people will do that shit, right? And whenever it happens, it's interesting, right? Like
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Is that their true self that they've finally made peace with, or have they made a turn, or you know, circumstances forced their hand? Who knows?
Yeah. Usually the latter, but it's always interesting when that shit happens, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so I remember we had a neighbor who was an alcoholic, and he was like two completely different people. So if we were at a barbecue and he'd had a few beers and he's getting going, it was great, wonderful. But it was so hard to communicate with him when he was sober. Mm. Like he was just a very different person, and that was probably the most stark. But for you, Greg, this is, you're talking about a lifetime of knowing somebody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved that person. You know, it made me laugh probably more than anybody, his antics at restaurants.
Adrian's the one that you used to tell him.
Like knocking over tables and like, you know, I mean, literally like we were at a restaurant just a couple of years ago and he pushed up to get the table to stand up for some reason, put all his body weight on it, and the whole table lurched and like the plates all went flying into the diner. And his wife was like, Adrian. And I was like, I just found it funny. I don't know why.
Into taking all his clothes off, right?
Oh, yeah. All the time he would do that. Yeah. When we were a college bird, we'd be at some random person's apartment or house, and we'd be like, hey, Adrian, when you go into the bathroom, take off all your clothes. Just come out, just your shoes on, smoking a cigarette, holding your beer. And he would, yeah. We got him arrested in Daytona. We were on spring break, and we were on the beach in Daytona. We told him to take his clothes off. He took all his clothes off. And
friends.
And he got arrested. And we had to spend the night in jail. And that same trip, we were all pasty white from Penn State. So he passed out on the beach one day, and we got suntan lotion. And with lotion, we wrote fat ass. it worked like better than you could possibly believe. So like for 2 days, he had like fat ass tanned into his back. It's great.
Did you guys tell him or did he just?
No. Well, I'm sure we told him at some point. Yeah. We didn't care. It was all, everything was funny back then. We didn't, no, none of our, yep. none of our if they were your real boys, like nothing you did to each other, yeah, was embarrassing right. as it could be. It was a big deal. It was all funny.
I mean, so.
Like, did you tell Gary to take off his shirt?
No, no. Oh God. Yeah. So that, I mean, so, you know, Gary and his wife, his lovely wife came down for a nice weekend like they'd like to do. So we were hanging out with them and it's interesting. I'm a little bit more reserved than some, but so we're at the pool all day with Gary and me and the girls. And so at a pool situation, this is like the opposite end of Bert's story. Bert's at a sex parties. I'm feeling uncomfortable with my own brother at a pool, you know, next to me. You know, but so we're in pool appropriate attire, bathing suits, and when we're in the pool, our shirts are off, and when we're back out of the pool, our shirts go back on immediately. You know, and so that seemed normal to me. But then we all go up to Gary and MP's room to we're gonna all just change for dinner there. And so we're out in the balcony, MP, Katie, and I having a drink, listening to music. Gary's taking a shower. And then he comes out like fully dressed for the evening, like shoes, pants, belt, watch, you know, but no shirt. Like, and like holding a drink. And he's like just talking to us. And the three of us looked at each other like, what are you doing? And he's like, what? We were just by the pool 20 minutes ago. I'm like, it's all about context, dude. It's appropriate. Then it's very inappropriate. Yeah, yeah.
It's okay to walk on your underwear now?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just so odd.
Yeah. Okay. Did you guys all take your shirts off after too then?
I took a shower later and just for a laugh, I came out with my pants and shoes on and no shirt.
You know, like you were talking about busting each other's balls and like dudes fucking stuff that you do with your friends, right?
Yeah.
Whenever me and a certain group of friends that I had, right, male friends, we all first got cell phones with pictures, right? We immediately started fucking taking pictures of us putting our balls on like something that the other one owns, right? Like, so like it started off like,
on your pillow. Here's my balls on your pillow.
Like, put your balls on like the door handle of their car. Like, so you know, oh yeah, every time I got your car, I had to touch my balls on your door handle, right? And of course, you'd send it 3 days after, like you were with that friend.
Oh, yes.
So they knew, but it was like shit like that. Then all of a sudden, like every time, every like one guy like was a big baseball player, right? And he fucking had this. He had his like high school baseball trophies. So like, of course, somebody's balls get taken from his high school. You know, all that sort of shit, right? But that's great. It was great. It was
that whole thing ended when CPS got involved, though, right? Yeah, no, nasty divorce. One of the guys, the wife found a, you know, 200 ball photos.
In his cell phone. A divorce proceeding.
He was in custody of his children. That was now, Bert,
are you setting us up now? You're gonna send us pictures from when we were all down in Florida. My toothbrush. I have your balls on it.
Yeah.
I've grown beyond that, dude.
Michelle, no, here, kid. I'm gonna put them right on Greg's forehead. Get the camera.
He's a light sleeper, so hurry up.
Yeah.
I mean, ball picks are pretty funny. I mean, they're just like...
Yeah. See, he's grooming us, guys.
I know.
Grooming. First, it was the swinging talk.
I like ball picks too now.
So, yeah. I mean, it was the swinging talk. So, all of us individually, the rest of us were thinking, but man, Bert and Michelle are so much more adventurous than us. I kind of feel a little bit backwards and embarrassed that I'm not more open like Bert. And so, that was the first, you know, conditioning... grooming action that you did tonight. Now it's like, well, ball photos, you're like trying to inculturate that as normal. And it's like, you know what? Yesterday, I wouldn't have thought that sounded kind of fun. But, you know, if I'm not going to be, you know, man enough to swing, then maybe I should get into these ball photos.
Just some ball pics. Yeah. They're fun.
Yeah, they're really funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't forget to clean the inside of your asshole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mine getting like groomed. Wilford Brimley.
Bert really does share a lot. I appreciate that you do that, Bert. I really do.
Yes.
I really do.
It's funny shit, man. It is.
You know, I love watching his internal dialogue play out, though. It's like, all right, this is probably something I shouldn't talk about. I was at a place where, you know, it's kind of like a punishing connotation to say, okay, I was at a sex dungeon. Okay.
I was at a sex dungeon.
All right. Look.
Look. That's right.
Listen.
I was at a fucking. I was at a fucking.
All right. It was at my mother's house. Yeah.
Well, you guys want to answer some questions?
Sure.
This is so fun. Okay. Well, welcome, Bad Counsel Podcast Planet.
Good night.
Be sure to check your inbox for some ball pics on things we might have touched while you were.
When
we were over at your house. That's right. They may or may not be coming, and you get to pick. The only person you know who didn't do it was Katie. It could be one of four other people.
Let's invite the Hoobuses over. Like, it'd be fun. I haven't seen Michelle in so long. No fucking way.
Oh, fucking
way. Say no to that guy's balls.
Oh, fucking no wonder Greg wanted to power wash the bathroom after Jack came. Yeah. This was his childhood. He grew up with you. This is like, he knows. Like, oh, I just
hate that motherfucker. I don't even enjoy playing hacky sack anymore.
Oh, my God. What was it called when someone pours beer down the crack of your ass in the balls and you have to drink it? It was a sack chug.
Gross.
Something I've never done. I don't know.
No. Bert talked about it.
Oh, okay.
So I had a friend of mine that went to the Coast Guard Academy and played rugby. And he said he was sharing that the parties were like out of, like, just beyond anything he had been to. And that if you had scored, I don't know what the equivalent is of a touchdown in rugby, that you had to do what Bert's, it was a sack chug. Basically, they would pour beer down the sweaty back and asshole of a guy in the team, and you'd have to drink the beer as it dripped down off his sack.
So you can get sick from that.
I mean,
I'm getting sick from that right now. If you people,
that's what I thought. You were talking about sack chug.
It's not good.
I mean, like, God, that's so disgusting. It's not worse than that. Oh, it's not worse than that.
Things you'd never thought. Would you rather? Chug dog slobber or sack chug from a sweaty rugby player's ass? Like,
It's also terrible.
Like, I drank out of some shoes once in a while. I've been known to drink out of a shoe.
Yeah, you know? Right. You'd be like, you just give me one. Don't even fucking tell me.
Yeah.
So pick, just don't tell me.
So a shoe. So dog slobber, a sweaty shoe, or
shoe's nothing. It's not.
Oh, I take the shoe.
Yeah, a shoe. That's what I'm saying. The shoe is nothing. I felt kind of, you know, wild at those times, but I mean comparatively, no. Yeah, I remember one of our high school friends was in a fraternity at Penn State, Bert, who told me about some pledging thing where they had, I don't know if it was an olive or some cylindrical food, like a grape perhaps, and they had to like pick it up with their ass. It was like some sort of relay, like they had bar stool set up. They like pick it up with their ass cheeks, move it to the next bar stool and set it down, and somehow there was scorekeeping involved, and the losing team, I guess, inevitably had to like eat the grape or something like that, or the slowest time had to eat the grape.
A grape and an olive would be very different, because a grape would have a tendency to maybe squish.
Olives are slippery.
Yeah.
Olives are slippery. Salty, too. Yes.
Yeah. So,
And they just seem more absorbent. I wouldn't want to eat that olive.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah,
you'd rather have the grape.
They felt the need to torture themselves.
You could wash it off.
You really wash off an olive, right?
No, I don't think you can.
All that oil, really.
No. Well, not to mention, you might lose the pimento somewhere that you don't want to.
You have to fish it out. Oh, man.
Hey, well, no. You're not off the hook yet, Bobby, until you eat the pimento. When I said eat the olive, that included the pimento. You better, okay, boys, bend over. You better
No hands.
Find it.
Hands. Find the pimento.
Get in there and find the pimento. No hands.
Bobby, get in there. You got to get in there.
You could introduce to the
fish it out.
Hey guys, I have a new fun game that I was just talking to my friends about. It's called Find the Pimento.
We're not fucking strangers. I went to a sex party.
Yeah.
Find the pimento.
Anyone want to play Find the Pimento?
Oh my god!
I learned it in college.
You can make martinis after.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still haven't fucking heard a question yet.
No. Oh, yeah. So. Okay. Come on, Tim.
Oh shit. Okay.
The episode where there weren't any questions.
Fucking next week.
What a hot mess this show is. I don't care. I love it. Hey, Bad Counsel, I have a problem and I hope you can help me with it. I'm a 36-year-old single mom and I haven't had a date in a while. I have one son, and he's 18, and has a new friend who has a great body. I've caught him checking me out from time to time, so I think...
Yeah, right.
Stacy's mom has got it going on.
Here's the thing you got to worry about. Kids can't keep their mouth shut, right?
Wait.
You got to size this fucking kid up. And does he seem like he's going to fucking be a blabbermouth, right?
Tim, was the end of the question as obvious?
And maybe she wants that.
Is that what she's saying? Should I just do it?
No, there is a little more to it. But I always love how Bert just cannot wait for the end of the question.
He's the guy in Jeopardy, like...
Right, and they have to show the
Graham's
camera.
Tomb?
Yep, like... Yeah. They can't fuck with me if they can see me pressing the button.
All right, I'll calm down. All right. Yeah.
Did you ever thought you'd ever be on mic speaking to the world, Greg, doing the sound effect of someone mashing the button on Jeopardy?
The Jeopardy button.
That is literally the sound effect. Like that. Yeah, that was great.
I mean, basically just a pen, a modified pen clicking.
Yeah.
Guys, you get so violent with that shit. There.
Yeah. And these are so, you can see the frustration in their face. And it's like, I know
I've caught... I've got him checking me out from time to time, so I think I have a good shot at fucking him. The thing is, I don't know how to get him alone.
It's hard to fucking it's hard to get an 18-year-old boy to fuck, that's for sure.
You know how to get him alone?
Yeah. What a
challenge.
That's
how we know this is a woman who wrote this, right? Although they would know better than us, right? The thing is, I don't know how to get him alone or what to say just in case I'm wrong. Do you have any ideas or suggestions? I'm trying to get laid and hope you guys can help me. Thank you, and I love the show.
Dude, I'm sure Penthouse Letter, the archives of Penthouse Letters, you know, we have a lot of good advice and scenarios she could create.
Get the kid's fucking phone number, text him, be like, yo, I got some fucking furniture I need to move upstairs. Like,
nice.
Can you help me out, right? Some shit like that, and right?
I'm stuck in the dryer. Mrs. Can you come Robinson. Help me?
Yeah, and you Jesus fucking comes over and you fucking you make a pass at him.
Yeah, it's your so tip is dependent on your performance.
But listen, sometimes charging the fort isn't the right answer all the time. Okay, sometimes honesty and directness are not the right strategy, because I would assume that this mother doesn't want to, you know, destroy the relationship that she has with her son by starting to sleep with his friends, right? I mean, that's probably a safe assumption.
Right.
And so, sense. You've had your two cents, Bert. Now you just, I'm putting you in the corner.
Now, he's asking the question. So it's not you're a safe assumption.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. So that's what I'm assuming, that she wouldn't want any logic. I mean, the virtue of the fact that she's asking, you could almost infer that she cares about, you know,
she's
how to handle
him
this.
By the time we're reading this, they've already fucked.
Well, but my point is, but you know, invite him over, you know, get the, have ply them with alcohol, you know, the classic method for, you know, adults to prey on children, like
seduction.
Ply them with alcohol, and you have a few drinks yourself too, honey, you know, because if it goes awry, if it turns out to be an embarrassing situation, you don't want text evidence inviting this kid over. You want it to be like, oh, you know what, a bad moment, I guess I had, you know, too many white claws, you know, whatever. So
bottomless mimosas.
I think that's a good point about having the text message.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
But I mean, just, well, maybe this is when you see the kid, ask him, right?
Yeah. Hey, you want to have sex? You know, oh, yeah. That's right.
Or, hey, stop over Tuesday. I'm getting some furniture delivered. I need fucking help. I'm going to need help moving.
Yeah. And then but, 2 hours later, he's like, hey, mom, what's this about new furniture? Bert told me that you asked him to come help new furniture.
Whatever. I mean, like, I'm sure you could work it out some way, somehow. That, like,
maybe that's what she needs to know.
Yeah. When your kid's like at a fucking, maybe goes on a sports trip for some shit like that. I don't know. Or, you know, whatever. He's not around this kid and fucking.
No, you got to entrap this kid. Cause this lady, this could really ruin her life. You know what I mean? If she misplays this.
Poor girl needs laid. Don't ever.
No, listen to me.
Let's not say kid. Let's just say young adult.
Kid, you want to keep this kid quiet. Yeah. 18 years old.
18 years old.
Full grown man. He's fully cooked, I'm sure. So, you know, you
totally developed.
Yeah. Like
legal.
You ply them with alcohol. You get your own child drunk enough to pass out. Okay. That's step one.
There you go. Nice.
I was thinking Benadryl.
Okay. Sure. Sure. You render your child unconscious. Render your child unconscious. Okay.
Oh,
that's step one.
Step one.
Render your child unconscious. Step two is get this kid drunk and you get a little bit drunk and like put on like a romantic movie. You know, your son's passed out on the lazy boy. You're on the love seat and put on some sort of a, like, you know, Top Gun. That would be a perfect film, I think, for a situation like this. And so you put Top Gun in.
The remake or the first
one? Oh, no, the original. Come
original.
On. Original. Don't insult me. And
come
so
on, Tim.
Then, and then start to get weepy about you're divorced, you're not attractive anymore, and maybe the belt around your house coat becomes a little bit looser as you're having
these
conversations. Everything here. Yes. Everything here you should. That's the end game for any scenario that you develop.
Right. But my point is, though, is that by the next morning, you want it to be so uncertain that he doesn't know whether he was taken advantage of or whether he took advantage of his friend's mother. You want to plant that so he keeps his mouth shut. He keeps his little mouth shut, you know?
You're the smart one. Like, you should be the smart one in this whole fucking thing. So you need to figure out the exit. Before you fuck this kid, you got to figure out the exit strategy.
That's it. Right? The next morning, you know, you whisper to him, you're like, now listen, Bert. We both know what you did last night wasn't right, but I don't want to see it ruin your future. So I think we should just best forget about it, the both of us.
This is fuck.
Right, that's how you do it.
You're good at this. You're like, this is actually scary good, man.
It is scary, right? I know. Sometimes I get like really a joke.
You should, Katie. You should. You should, because he's only telling you like,
you know, that sinking cold.
He's only telling you like about 30% of what he actually thinks about, right? So this is there's another 70% he doesn't even share with us. So Katie, I would be very afraid.
I heard a great one night stand story on Friday. I was out with a buddy of mine, right? He stopped drinking, right? He's like one of these guys. He was like one of these guys that was just a big fucking partier, right? And then he, like at 26, he was like, I need to figure out what the fuck to do with myself. So he went to nursing school and he's a nurse, right?
Oh, geez.
And he works at the fucking, he's an emergency room nurse, right? Works at one of the fucking busiest trauma center, like the busiest hospitals on the East Coast, right? Total fucking solid dude, right? But he's telling me the story about his, back when I was drinking, right? I was up in Boston. He's from Boston, right?
He's a good guy.
Bar in South Boston, yeah. And
sounds like a great
fucking guy. Snowy day, right? So he's at the bar, and the whole all day, this Irish chick is at the bar with him, right? And they're just drinking, right? And by the end of the day, because it's fucking snowing out, right? They're like, okay, we gotta fucking get out of here, right? So they're both hammered. They walk out of the place, and they're slipping and sliding because it's snowing, right? So this girl's apartment, her apartment's like a block away from the bar, right? So they go over to her apartment and she's got no heat, right? So she realizes that this chick fucking brought him home. You're gonna fuck, but she's got no heat, right? So that's part of the fucking draw, right? So she's slipping and sliding the whole way, right? So she goes to fucking take off, but she actually has a fucking only one leg, right?
Oh.
So she goes to take off her, she's actually taking off her leg, right? And so this guy goes, okay, listen, I'm going to stay. All right, I'll stay. But you got to keep your leg on. So
he's negotiating.
You have to keep your leg on.
Well, you know what? It's
you fucking Boston guys, man.
I don't blame him,
right? I mean,
I think it's fair, right? Yeah. She's got no heat, man. She can fucking die.
He was there to warm her up. It was an even exchange.
So how'd she lose the leg?
So
no, I'm just kidding.
That was a good fall off. I wish I
someone bit her on the hip in a street fight and got infected.
Yeah,
got infected.
She got really bad infection.
Yeah, this is a horrible story. It's
it happens. It happened.
I think we helped this gal, this single mom.
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
No, the shit at the end with fucking like how to fuck with this kid's head. Yeah. That's fucking great, and it's key. And you definitely gotta manipulate this fucking kid, right.
Yeah. I did not know this question
and
came.
You know what? If you do it right, you could have fucking some D for a while.
Well, she could have the whole high school train on her.
Yeah.
Nice. Leave the tracks. Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't know this question came from 1928 when they actually wore house coats, Greg. So that was, this is where sometimes,
you know, in order to formulate these answers, I really have to put myself in the situation. And so I was transported back to when I and Bert were 18-year-olds, and like, you know, and what was the likely, you know, I'm trying to create a picture. Yeah, yeah. I thought of Tim's mom, you know, in her house coat that she used to flounce around all the time.
For everybody, that's not me, Tim.
No,
that's
another Tim. Yeah.
That's
Bert and I's neighbor and friend growing up.
Lived across the street from you,
from
think.
From Bert, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, from Bert. Yeah. Okay, well, then there you go. I think that was great.
Problem solved,
you know.
And solid
we
advice.
We love to get 36-year-old women laid. I mean, that is, mm-hmm. I think if we think about some of the
things we're very eventually, proud of, you know, this is something
you can. That's the Lord's work.
And here's a little bit, you know, softening up. I know that seemed like a pretty ruthless tactic I suggested, but, you know, here's the where are they now element to this kind of idea is that, you know, obviously your son is still your son. And so maybe it's 20th high school anniversary time. You know, and you make yourself available at the event and you run into your son's old friend who's now 38 and you say, hey, oh, Bird, I was just fucking with you, dude. I just didn't want to get in any trouble myself. It doesn't matter now that you know, but I was fucking with you. And, you know, if Bert's still kept it together, like some Berts I know do, maybe you have round two.
And actually, at that point, maybe the kid fucking appreciates it. Like, yeah, hey, you were pretty smart.
Yeah, and so, you know what? And by that time, your now 38-year-old child will have done so many things in life to piss you off that you won't have to render him or her unconscious. You can just be like, hey, I'm fucking your friend. What do you think of that? Oh, by the way, back when you're high school, I fucked him then too. You
know? So
take a carload out in my name.
We do know that from this show, that Katie has slept with someone that's 20 years older than her. Bert, we know, got to see boobies of his babysitter who is at least 10 years older than him, right? But what's the oldest?
To touch him too.
And touch him.
Like,
right.
Don't leave that part.
Well, how much older was Bert's mom when they were showering together?
Yeah, that's actually not much.
More than 10 years older. That's for sure.
Was that Bert's very first show that he did? Yeah, I think maybe. It was his very first. I think that was early. We just knew this is podcast gold. This guy. But so, Mike, Greg, what was the biggest difference in age, older to you
or younger?
Oh, younger. I'd rather not say younger.
I'm just going older. So put yourself in the 18-year-old. Oh, and older? Bert, you may have a bigger difference. I don't know. I remember the babysitter story.
Yeah, I was at a company Christmas party. I was probably 19 years old, and I was drinking. They let me drink there. And one of the women that worked in the front office, she was in her late 30s. I don't know exactly how old she was.
You did tell us this story.
I think I told the story before. Yeah, she asked me to follow her home so she could get home safe. I'm like, yeah, sure.
So that was how many years difference?
She was probably close to 20 years, 18, 20 years older.
Did you realize at the time that that was going on? You did? Okay, all right.
Yeah. I knew. Because I said she wasn't super attractive.
Otherwise, you would have asked her for gas money.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can imagine an 18-year-old being dopey enough.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, right. That's, there's like.
Hey, we read penthouse letters.
Right. But we would have been thinking it anyway. I mean, maybe it was innocent, but we'd be thinking maybe there's something at the end.
So this was an older coworker, Mike?
Yes.
So what was, I mean, you know, I find so many things awkward. Like, after this all went down, was it like you pretended like you didn't know each other? You pretended like it never happened? You dated?
No, actually.
I mean, what was this?
Yeah, we didn't. Well, I didn't really see her too much. She worked way up in front office, and I was working in the warehouse at the time. I was, like I said, 18, 19 years old. But yeah. They had brought all the food that following Monday from the party to the off to back to work. There was a lot of leftovers. And I swear she must have known there was another woman in the office. She came up to me. And, of course, the leftovers are in the break room. But she just walked up and said, "Oh, hey, so, Tim, did you get any?" And I just looked at her.
I'm going there now.
My face started turning red. She goes, "We brought the leftovers." I said, "Yeah, I'm all set." And I walked away.
My face was red.
That's fucking great.
I think she knew and did it on purpose.
Yeah, I was going to say, you couldn't help but tell your coworkers in the warehouse, right?
Oh, yeah, I told everyone.
Yes, so everybody.
I keep it a secret.
That's right, because you're 18.
Yeah, you tell exactly. Everyone. You haven't done anything wrong. Yeah.
She's not married, so I was like, eh.
Yeah.
She, you know, she was bragging about it in the office, too.
Yeah,
probably not.
That young buck.
Yeah. How did that conversation start out, though? Was it like...
"You're really pretty. Did I ever tell you that?"
What was the shit to get you in the house?
"I don't know why you're not married. Because you're the kind of lady that when I get older, I'd like to marry."
No, she, "You want to follow me home?" I did, and I think she knew at that point I wasn't.
Yeah.
Just kind of just followed her in the house and then into the bedroom.
Yeah.
Nice. And here's to you.
And she took advantage of me.
Robinson.
You know, I speaking of work and sex, I remember in high, I hate working. I worked at a company, the Great Northern Swing Set Company. It was a company that was started, this guy at my church. I worked there and I set
this
up.
Sounds like a setup for an elaborate joke. At my church, went to work for me. He had a Great Northern Swing Set Company.
He did. It's not Swinger Company. It's a swing set company, Bert. He actually, his name was Rocco. And so he got me a job there. And so we needed someone to work in the office. And I was really sweet on this girl, Becky, in my school, in high school. And I thought, if I could get her working there, get her a job, maybe I'll have a shot, right?
Did you just say you were sweet on her?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're mocking my house code reference? She'd invited Tim to a Sadie Hawkins dance that spring. That's why I was so sweet on her.
I wanted to fuck her. I thought I could bang her.
If I got her a part-time job.
Got her a part-time job, right? So I'm providing.
I just thought it like a nice dinner at Red Lobster or movies or cheap jewelry from Macy's. But no, Tim wanted to get this girl a part-time job. You know, I want your attraction of me to be sustainable and benefit your family.
Sorry. Yeah, well, I can't say I had the best of moves when I was 16 years old. Yeah. But the crazy thing is that she started working there. Nothing ever happened between me and her. But I did walk into the office one day, and there's Rocco and Becky making out.
Oh.
And so this was...
Through the heart, man.
Right? So, I mean, it was full on. Like, I walk in, they see, he knows I go to his church. I know his wife. I know his kids. Yeah. So that was a really interesting...
And how much older was he than her?
So Rocco had to be in his mid-40s, and so we were, 17?
He's making out with this fucking high school chick?
And Becky was fucking hot as shit. Like, Becky was... She was rocking.
Good for him.
Yeah, like
She's a fucking dirty girl.
Yeah, when I was 45, right, if I had seen someone
Would you
Becky,
make out with a high school chick? Can you imagine that?
No.
I wouldn't make out with it's kind of creepy that you would fucking do that, man. That's really...
It would. Right, exactly. I mean, you have daughters, right?
But making out with her, that's just weird.
The one that works for you. Like, you're making out with a fucking high school
and you're married church leader.
Yeah.
Right.
It all tracks, actually.
That sounds like a lot of documentary.
But it was my plan crumbled, and then the question became, what do I do? What is the ethical right thing to do? Right,
you blackmail them.
Fuck that.
Yeah. So I
and slut shame Becky, right?
Get a raise.
I wonder what Becky was trying to do. Was she trying to fucking work this guy? Maybe.
I think she really loved him. And even in her yearbook, it actually, yeah, they ended up like, he ended up, his marriage broke up. They dated for a while. Like it was messed up.
How much, what was the age difference then? 20 years?
So 17, 45, what's that?
Oh, that's 30 years. 28 years.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah, it didn't last.
Be that dumb.
It lasted longer than I thought.
Mm. What was your oldest, Tim?
It was only, I was probably 15 in high school, and my,
she was 16 and a half.
She was 16 and a half.
12. She was 12.
No. Yeah, older. We're
a buddy of mine, his sister who was in college. So, maybe she was like 20.
You, dog.
Yeah.
How old were you? 16?
15, I think.
Damn. Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
I was just lucky. We're at a party.
Tim was fucking girls in churches and banging college girls in junior high.
That's the extent.
That's about it.
Giving them part-time jobs.
You banged a college girl when you were 15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is fucking impressive.
I think she probably took pity on me or something, like, because I was in
who cares?
Yeah, so if you're pity fuck, who cares at that point?
Yeah.
I'm 15 years old, I'm taking a pity fuck. I'm not going to
all the pity fucks I can get.
About it. I'm not fucking, I'm just a pity fuck for you. Fuck that.
But that's the biggest difference. That's what I'm saying. Like, that would be a wild.
Yeah, and but at that age, that's a huge fucking difference. That's like mm-hmm. 15 years if you're. 45, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Greg, you?
I don't know for sure. Probably I dated a girl when I lived in Chicago very briefly. She was probably 10 years older than me. I was probably 22 and she was 31 or 32. So
she wanted a fuck boy. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Someone with stamina. Mm-hmm. Remember that, guys? Yeah, right. Remember stamina?
No.
Hey, speak for yourselves, guys. I remember last weekend, Katie and I had like a sting like tantric session. So speak for yourselves, fellas.
Atta boy.
Yeah.
Atta boy.
Do you have some of those numbing wipes?
No.
Do you know what those are?
No, I have no idea.
Like these wipes that fucking, if you come too quick, right, that you can put rub on your dick and it like desensitizes it, right? So like you can fuck longer.
Snot is running down his nose. Greasy fingers smearing shabby clothes. Hey, hey, Hoovis Lung.
Hoovis Lung.
They make them. You know, like you've never seen advertisements for that shit.
No. Where do you see that? Like
you have very different algorithms. Yeah.
Cinemax, late night Cinemax. That's where he sees it at.
Greg's just got a steady stream of care video.
I mean, that's got to be for someone who just maybe comes too fast. Like, I mean, that's
Yeah.
Because I mean,
what would be too fast? I mean,
that's right.
Yeah,
I mean, as long as the pleasure associated with coming is roughly equivalent, whether it comes after 10 seconds or 10 minutes, what's so bad about coming fast? No offense, honey.
Then you can get back to doing
it. We're in the middle of a show and it's like a race. Yeah,
exactly. Commercial break time. Oh, honey, it's one of those interactive ads. Hand me the remote.
It's one of the benefits of getting old, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. One more question, then we'll have to say goodnight. You guys are crazy. Hey, team, I have a marital dilemma.
You've come to the right place.
Bert, you want to answer this? No, you. No. Okay, all right.
You don't need to know the rest of the question.
Swing, honey. That's the answer.
He's got it.
My wife and I have been married almost 10 years. For our fifth anniversary, I bought my wife a Prada handbag that she'd literally been begging for since we got engaged. She was beside herself with excitement. But then I never saw her use the bag, like ever.
Bitch. Sorry.
I asked her if she didn't. Did you say that out loud? I asked her if she didn't like it, and she said it was too special to use. For fuck's sake. I mean, it's one thing to be careful, but to never use it seemed almost insulting. So I sold it online and never told her. These are people, right? Last night, she mentioned she was planning on using it at her sister's wedding. She has no idea it's gone. When she discovers it's missing, I'm going to have to come clean or lie to the police. LOL. What's my play? So this is clearly a listener.
The truth is, don't listen to waiting birds, but well, the truth isn't your answer. I know that
what's
much.
What's fucking site? Isn't there like some fucking site?
The real
or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
or Poshmark. Yeah, so if you can find,
or spend a half an hour and see if you can find the shit there, right? And
or a really good knockoff.
I have that Chinese website where I get my jerseys, you know, inexpensively. They can make just about anything. Honestly, you send them pictures. I send them pictures of so many
a couple nice
random different things. Yeah. And they're not cheap, but they're much less, you know, they're 90% off what you'd pay for the real thing. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I say lie to her.
Yeah.
So you have no idea what happened to it, then give her shit for losing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, genius.
What the fuck is it? What do you mean?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
You know, it's $5,000. You know that? Yeah. You fucking idiot.
And then leverage it for blowjobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I've had friends who have like things like I've known women who've had purses that they've purchased for themselves that they one of our old coworkers, Tim, like she'd purchased like some, I don't know, several $1,000 handbag and she never brought it to work. And we would ask her about it. She's like, oh no, you know, once every month or so, I take it down off the shelf in my closet and I open the box and I unwrap it and I just look at it. You know, I just look at it for, you know, half an hour.
It's then art.
I put it back. And yeah. She just loved knowing that she had it. So,
you know, I'm shaking my head as I hear this. And then I'm thinking about these guys who have like classic cars that they never drive.
Yeah.
You
know what
I mean? Like Cameron's dad.
Yeah.
Good reference.
Nice.
So like, I guess like, you know, that behavior. Well, in a kind of way, I could understand having a classic car that you're never going to drive, that you don't really drive because it's going up in value. Does a fucking designer handbag go up in value?
Some of them hold and increase in value, yeah. But not if you stained them or dragged them outside.
Growing up, my mother, we never really had great furniture. So when she finally got a brand new set, she was so happy with it in our living room that nobody was allowed to sit in it. There was a TV in there.
Was on it?
No, there was no plastic on it. It was just, you know, no, don't go in there. No. Well, Mom, what do you have? No, we'll use it on special occasions. And there were never special occasions. You sat on it like twice in the 20 years she owned it. Like, why do you have it then? You don't want to, but it looks nice. I don't want it to get ruined.
I have things like that in my life. Right? Like, you know, nothing valuable. Like, I'm like my stupid t-shirts. Like, once, you know, when you do a total laundry and all your stuff, you've unlimited choice on your favorite shirt or your favorite jeans or your favorite whatever, do you always go to your favorite first or do you save it? I tend to never wear, ironically, the things that I like best, the shirts that I like best, the shoes that I like best. I tend to rarely wear them because I don't want to like wear out the, I want to save them. Like I always think, well, today's just a normal day. I'm just going to the office. It's not a big deal. You know, I want.
Is off. Well, what I want to know is if you do execute that plan, right? When you finally wear it, is it going to be like 5 years out of style?
Right. Well, the worst part is I kind of know some of his favorite shirts. So basically, if I go to visit Greg and I know I get like a B level or a C level shirt, I know exactly where I stand with him.
Like,
you know,
busy today.
Right? Like, you know, I'm expecting like, you know, something really super solid, like Social Distortion, but I get like, I don't know, the Go-Go's or something like that. Like it would be, yeah, it would not be good.
Yeah.
If I have a shirt and I like it, I wear it. I don't save anything. Of course, I don't really have a lot of nice clothes. So
Miles, when Miles gets a shirt that he likes, too. He wears it all the time. Like it's just like a new pair. Like he just, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, man.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I wear my favorite stuff all the time.
Yeah,
I know. Yep. I save it.
So,
because I think, oh, if we go somewhere this Friday, I want to have that shirt clean. So I better not wear it. You know. Then eventually it just gets buried by all the other clean t-shirts that I keep putting on top of it. And then I remember that I have it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't remember. I could never wear this shirt enough. Then I started all over.
Yeah, I was telling them, I know some of your favorite shirts. And if I came to see you and I got like a B level or a C level T-shirt, I would know where I stood with you. Like,
well, that's right.
You would want the social distortion.
Right. Like if I didn't get the social distortion shirt or the Husker Du shirt, like I would feel like, fuck, man. Like, all right.
Yeah, that's true.
I know where I'm at.
And that's why I want to have them available in case a friend comes in from out of town unexpectedly. I happen to know just how special they are. I have this Styx T-shirt that I've not yet worn. I probably, when do we go to that Styx concert, honey?
It's been a few months.
I'm saving it for just the right moment.
Oh, that was with the old guy in the hooker,
mine's probably been washed like 20 times.
Yeah. I've not worn it.
So
you're going to wear it and people think you just found Styx today, right? And you've got a brand new T-shirt, right?
Like, maybe. Yeah.
Vintage. I was
I don't think anyone would be a new fan of Styx. She's been
if one of our children were wearing that Styx T-shirt, they'd be like, oh, a newfound Styx is a newfound fan, but they wouldn't look at me and think, oh, look at this guy, he's new to the Styx scene, you know.
The shirts are expensive. I forgot when I saw that when I went to the concert, I was like, $50 for a T-shirt. Again, I felt a little old. I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, I can't pay $50 for a T-shirt. But
sorry, Tammy, we're not getting the T-shirt.
Well, that's the crazy thing is
I got you wine and I gave you my wine as well, so that's got to be enough tonight.
It's Bennett. So I went with Bennett. It was just me and Bennett, and Bennett is like an old man himself. Like, so he was so happy that we could get to the bathroom quick. We got into the you know, the drink lines first, and you know, so it was he's an old soul.
But the key to that, I'm with you on all those things, but did you also agree, like, hey, listen, if we both hear all the songs that we really like, we don't feel bad about missing the encore? Did you do that, or do you wait till the lights
come? We wanted to see the encore. We were pretty happy. And, you know, so, and it was good. They did it. And they had Jenny Lewis. So Jenny Lewis.
No, I love Jenny Lewis.
Yes. So Jenny Lewis was in Postal Service with Ben Gibbard, who is in Death Cab for Cutie.
I didn't know that.
And she was there, man. And she was fucking phenomenal. And, yeah, she was on for the entire Postal Service. Yeah, she's beautiful. That is someone who, like, if I could marry a voice, it would be her voice. Like, she's just from
or Xander.
Or Xander. Oh, yeah. From Rilo Kiley all the way through her last album, Jenny Lewis is just she's everything. All right.
Better watch out.
And I was in the same building as her. That's as close as I got. I was, you know. All right. Well, hey, man, I love you guys. You beautiful people. Hope you have a wonderful week.
Yes.
Yeah. Have a good week, everybody.
I love you all dearly.
Yes. Likewise.
Aw. Love you too.
You're my roots.
Johnny, relax.
All right.
All right, guys. See you, man. Have a great week.
See ya.
Momentarily insane.
Greg's face was classic. It was like, was that just in my head, or was that actually something? Yeah.
Did they hear that? Well, I was like, wait, is Tim stopping the recording, or am I missing something? There's some sort of a moment I forgot about.
Just what you need, girl.
I can't do it during the show anymore, so I was just trying to get them all in before we...
What do you mean you can't do it during the show? God. Gary's going to feel like he's won, and you don't want that.
I know. I just haven't sat down to extend the... extend the songs. Yeah.
Did you hit the button head to the Gary soundbite?
Which Gary? Oh,
for the Gary.
I don't
great
have
great job, Gary.
The great job, Gary.
Oh, I don't have that on here. I actually have to take that down somewhere else.
Oh man!
But I'll get it.
Boo.
I'll get it. I'll put it on there. That's been a while. He hasn't done anything great, really.
Did you have he was just saying, we could have done a great job, Gary, today after the
shirtless scene on the back.
He looked like he's in pretty good shape, though. Does he have a muffin top? Is he in good?
I mean, yeah, he's in great shape for a nearly 60-year-old man. Yeah. He'll kill me for mentioning his age, but that's what
he doesn't look. He doesn't look older than 58. So he's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. He's got the body of a 57.
He actually has a great fucking jawline, though. That is something like, I don't know if it was just the angle or but he really.
Oh, nice. Listen to that, Gary.
Yeah. All right. He does.
Yeah. He's handsome. Man, we had a great weekend. It was so fun.
Or that might have been the AI Ken filter that did that. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Don't hang up.